Most of those who believe they should stop find it very difficult to do so. They find it's become a deeply ingrained habit, a habit they can't change just because they want to.
If I'm dressed as my wife. But never, senor.
Sorry?
I've never even been to Spain.
You went to Ibiza last year.
That's still not grounds for calling me senor. Or Don Beagles, for that matter. Right. Dear King Harkon.
Of Norway, is that?
Just put down what I say.
Do I put that down?
Of course you don't put that down.
Well, what about that?
Look! Don't put that down. Just put down what I... Wait a minute. Now, when I've got these ankles on... When I've got these ankles on, I am dictating. And when I take them off, I'm not dictating.
I'm not dictating.
What? Read that back.
Dear King Harkon, I'm not dictating. What?
No, you loopy brothel inmate!
That's enough of this.
Oh, courtesan, oh, aren't we grand? Our lot's not good enough for us, eh? Paramour, concubine, fille de joie, that's what we're not. Well, listen to me, my fine fellow. You are a bit of tail, that's what you are.
I am not, you demented fictional character.
Algy says you are. He says you're no better than you should be.
And how would he know?
And just what do you mean by that? Are you calling my old fictional comrade-in-arms a fairy?
Fairy? Pooh's not good enough for Algy, is it? He's got to be a bleeding fairy. Prince Lothario of Queen.
Algy, I have to see you.
Righto.
What ho, everyone? Are you gay?
I should very well say so, old fruit.
Dear King Harkon. Oh. Dear King Harkon, just a line to thank you for the eel. Mary thought they were really scrummy, comma, so did I, full stop. I've just heard that Algy was a poof, exclamation mark. What would Captain W.E. Johns have said, question mark? Sorry to mensch, but if you finished with the lawn edger, could you pop it in the pest? Love, Biggles, Algy deceased, and Ginger. Ginger?
What?
Rhyming slang, ginger beer.
Oh.
Ginger.
Hello, sweetie.
I have to see you.
Yes, Biggles?
Are you a poof?
I should say not.
Thank God for that. Good lad, stout fellow, salt of the earth, backbone of England. Funny, he looks like a poof. Dear Princess Margaret. Get back in the cupboard, you pantomimetic royal person. Lemon curry? Dear real Princess Margaret, thank you for the eels, full stop. They were absolutely delicious and unmistakably regal, full stop. Sorry to mensch, but if you finished with the hairdryer, could you pop it in the pest? Yours, fictionally, Biggle. Oh, P.S., see you at the Saxe Coburg's canaster evening. That should puzzle her.
Si, Signore Bigles.
Silence, naughty lady of the night!
Next week, part two, Biggles Flies Undone.
Well, not very far away.
Climbing, the world's loneliest sport, where hardship and philosophy go hand in glove. And here, another British expedition, attempting to be the first man to successfully climb the north face of the Uxbridge Road. This four-man rope has been climbing tremendously. BBC cameras were there to film every inch.
The major assault on the Uxbridge Road has been going on for about 3 weeks, really ever since they established base camp here at the junction of Willesden Road. From there, they climbed steadily to establish Camp 2 outside Lewis's, and it's taken them another 3 days to establish Camp 3 here outside the post office. Well, they've spent a good night in there last night in preparation for the final assault today. The leader of the expedition is 29-year-old Bert Tagg, a local headmaster and mother of three.
Bert, how's it going?
Oh, it's a bit gripping, is this, Chris? I've got to try and reach that bus stop in an hour or so, and I'm doing it by layback up this gutter. So I'm kind of guttering and laying back at the same time and philosophizing.
Bert, some people say this is crazy.
Oh, well, they said gripping was crazy, didn't they?
Well, Crippin was crazy.
Oh, well, there you are, then. John, I'm sending you down this carabiner on white.
Lemon curry?
No, he's putting in a peg down there because I'm quite a way up now, and if I come unstuck here, I go down quite a long way.
Such quiet courage is typical of the way these brave chaps shrug off danger. Like it or not, you've got to admire the skill that goes into it.
Oh, it's terrible up on deck.
Up on deck?
Yeah, on deck. It's diabolical weather.
What deck, dear?
The deck of the lifeboat.
This isn't a lifeboat, dear. This is 24 Parker Street.
This is the New Haven lifeboat.
No, it's not, dear.
You're right. This isn't a lifeboat at all.
No, I wouldn't live here if it was.
Do you mind if I sit down for a minute and collect my wits?
Ah, you do that. I'll make a nice cup of tea.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Tom, will you turn up deck soon, Charlie?
It's not a lifeboat, Frank.
What?
What do you mean?
It's not a lifeboat. It's this lady's house.
Captain! Captain, ahoy there!
Ahoy there!
Ahoy there!
Ahoy there!
Captain?
Who's that shouting?
Ahoy there.
It's a man outside number 24. Try it up a 5-inch, Gladys. I can't. I got that fixed on the Baileys at number 13 there. My new lodger moves in today. All right, hold 13 on the 5-inch and transfer the cartridge to the digital scanner. Okay. Hold on. Mrs. Pettigrew's coming back from the doctor's.
Oh, bring her up on too. We'll see. What's the duration reading on the oscillator?
48.47.
Well, that's a long time for someone who's just had a routine checkup.
Pass rate's 146.
Oh, I'll zoom in on the 16 mil and hold her, Edith.
Roger, Gladys.
I'll try and get her on the 12 inch.
Move the curtain, Edith.
Angela.
Yes, it's one of those new self-writing models. New Haven was about the first place in the country to get one.
Well, what's the displacement on one of them jobs?
Oh, about 140, 150.
Who's the food cake?
Oh, yes.
Yes? Well, macaroons. Two dozen food cakes, half those macaroons. Right, at Wembley Jiffy then.
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
Right,
please, please.
Please, Clarice. 48p.
There we are. Thank you. By the way, do you do lunches?
No! Morning coffees and teas only.
Right on.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Storage Jars. On tonight's programme, Mikos Antoniakis, the Greek rebel leader who seized power in Athens this morning, tells us what he keeps in storage jars. From strife-torn Bolivia, Ronald Rogers reports on storage jars there. And closer to home, the first dramatic pictures of the mass jailbreak near the storage jar factory in Maidenhead. All this and more in storage jars.
Bolivia. Behind me, you can hear the thud of bombs and the high-pitched whine of rockets as the battle for control of this volatile republic shakes the foundations of this old city. But whatever their political inclinations, these Bolivians are keen users of storage jars. Here, the largest size is used for rice and for mango, a good local crop. And unlike most revolutionary South American states, they've an intermediary size in between the 2-pound and 5-pound jar. This gives this poor but proud people a useful jar of apricots, plums, and stock cubes. Smallest jar, this little 2-ounce jar. For sweets, chocolates, and even little shallots. No longer used in the West, it remains here as an unspoken monument to the days when La Paz knew better times. Donald Rogers, storage jars, La Paz.
In London, the Prime Minister met officials from the Department of the Environment to discuss the whole question of national parks prior to next week's national parks being ready. A cassette tape recorder is to replace the salon quartets and trios which have played beside the potted palms of Manchester Town Hall reception for nearly 100 years. Shortage of money has caused a switch to tape music, which will be relayed over a new public address system, replacing one which relayed both music and the clink of glasses to other reception rooms. Stock market prices hit record levels in the last part of the year. The Financial Times index rose 3.7 points to 476.5, the highest of the month. Police trounced on the BBC had reported that Radio Free Solent, a parent station, was marking the first birthday of the BBC's Southampton-based Radio Solent.
Turn that television off! You know it's bad for your eyes!
Ah, that's better.
Henry, will you stop sitting around?
Yes, dear.
There's an entire TV studio waiting around for you to do the next link. And when you've got that done, I've got some more work for you. Henry, do you hear me? Henry! Henry, get a move on! Now, you sod! That's better. Up to, up to, up to, up to, up to!
The good fairy from Program Control, where we're all grateful for your work on this link. So much so that I'm here to release you from the evil spell you've been under.
Huh?
Well, it doesn't always work the first time. No need to. You see, it's all in a day's work for Program Control.
The show so far.
Hello, the show so far. Well, it all started with the organist losing his clothes as he sat down at the organ. And after this had happened, and we had seen the titles of the show, we saw Biggles dictating a letter to his secretary, who thought he was Spanish, and whom he referred to as a harlot and a woman of the night, although she preferred to be called a courtesan. then we saw some people trying to climb a road in Uxbridge. And then there were some cartoons, and then some lifeboatmen came into a woman's sitting room, and after a bit, the woman went out to buy some cakes on a lifeboat. And then a naval officer jumped into the sea. Then we saw a man telling us about storage jars from Bolivia, and then there were some more cartoons. And then a man told us about what had happened on the show so far, and a great hammer came and hit him on the head. I remember that.
Lemon curry.
Sitting in the public library in Sherman Street just now, skimming through Rogue Harry's by Horace Walpole, when I suddenly came over all peckish.
Peckish, eh?
Esurient.
Eh?
Yabberall, oldie like.
Ah, hungry.
In a nutshell, so I thought to myself, a little fermented curd will do the trick. So I curtailed my wall-polling activities, sallied forth and infiltrated your place of purveyance to negotiate the vending of some cheesy comestibles.
Come again?
I want to buy some cheese!
Ah! I thought you were complaining about the music.
Oh, heaven forbid, I'm one who delights in all manifestations of the Terpsichorean muse.
Sorry?
I like a nice dance, you forced to.
Anyway, who said that?
Oh, my good man, some cheese, please.
Yes, certainly, sir. What would you like?
Well, how about a little Red Leicester?
I'm afraid we're fresh out of Red Leicester, sir.
Never mind. How are you on Tilsit?
Never at the end of the week, sir. Always get it fresh first thing on Monday.
Tish, tish. No matter. Well, 4 ounces of kefili, then, if you please, stout yeoman.
Ah, well, it's been on order for 2 weeks, sir. I was expecting it this morning.
Yes, it's not my day, is it? Belpaese?
Sorry.
Red Windsor?
Normally, sir, yes. But today the van broke down.
Ah. Stilton?
Sorry.
Gruyere, Emmental?
No.
Any Norwegian Jarlsberger?
No.
Liptauer?
No.
Lancashire?
No.
White Stilton?
No.
Danish Blue?
No.
Double Gloucester?
No.
Cheshire?
No.
Any Dorset Blue Vinny?
No.
Brie, Roquefort, Pont l'Evêque, Port-Salut, Savoyard, Saint-Paulin, Carré de l'Est, Boursin, Brest-Bleu, Perle de Champagne, Camembert.
Ah, we do have some Camembert.
You
sir.
Do? Excellent.
It's a bit runny, sir.
Oh, I like it runny.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's very runny, sir.
No matter, no matter. Hand over la fromage de la belle France qui s'appelle Camembert, s'il vous plaît.
I think it's runnier than you like it, sir.
I don't care how excrementally runny it is. Hand it over with all speed.
Yes, sir. Oh!
What?
The cat's eaten it.
Pazzi.
She, sir.
Gouda?
No.
Edam?
No.
Caithness?
No.
Smoked Austrian?
No.
Sage Derby?
No, sir.
You do have some cheese, do you?
Oh, certainly, sir. It's a cheese shop, sir. We've got...
No, don't tell me. I'm keen to guess.
Fair enough.
Winsleydale?
Yes, sir?
Splendid! Well, I'll have some of that then, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I thought you were referring to me. Mr. Winsleydale.
Gorgonzola?
Yeah.
Parmesan?
Yeah.
Mozzarella?
Yeah.
Pippo creme?
No.
Any Danish Finbo?
No.
Czechoslovakian sheep's milk cheese?
No.
Venezuelan beaver cheese?
Not today, sir, no.
Well, let's keep it simple. How about cheddar?
Well, I'm afraid we don't get much call for it around these parts, sir.
Much call? It's the single most popular cheese in the world.
Not around these parts, sir.
And pray, what is the most popular cheese round these parts?
Ilchester, sir.
I see.
Yes, sir, it's quite staggeringly popular in the manor, Squire.
Is it?
Yes, sir, it's our number one seller.
Is it?
Yes, sir.
Ilchester, eh?
Right.
Okay, I'm game. Have you got any? He asked, expecting the answer no.
I'll have a look, sir. No.
It's not much of a cheese shop, really, is it?
Mine is in the district, sir.
And what leads you to that conclusion?
Well, it's so clean.
Well, it's certainly uncontaminated by cheese.
You haven't asked me about Limburger, sir.
Is it worth it?
Could be.
Okay. Have you...
Will you shut that bloody dancing up?
I told you so.
Have you got any Limburger?
No.
No, that figures. No, it's pretty predictable, really. It was an act of pure optimism to pose the question in the first place. Tell me something. Do you have any cheese at all?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm going to ask you that question once more. And if you say no, I'm going to shoot you through the head. Now, do you have any cheese at all?
No.
What a senseless waste of human life.
Hugh Walpole's Rogue Cheddar, one of the first of the cheese westerns, to be later followed by Gunfight at Greer Corral, Ilchester 73, and The Cheese Who Shot Liberty Valance. While I'm on the subject of westerns, I want to take a closer look at one of my favourite film directors, Sam Peckinpah, the expatriate from Fresno, California. In his earliest films, Major Dundee, The Wild Bunch, and Straw Dogs, he showed his predilection for the utterly truthful and very sexually arousing portrayal of violence in its starkest form. In his latest film, Peckinpah's moved into the calmer and more lyrical waters of Julian Slade's Salad Days.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
I say, what a simply super day.
Gosh, yes.
It's so, you know, sunny.
Yes, isn't it? I say, anyone for tennis?
Oh, super.
What fun. I say, Lionel, catch.
Pretty strong me there from Sam Peckinpah.
The BBC would like to apologise to everyone in the world for that last item. It was disgusting and bad and thoroughly disobedient, and please don't bother to phone up because we know it was very tasteless, but they didn't really mean it, and they do all come from broken homes and very unhappy personal lives, especially Eric. Anyway, they're really very nice people underneath and very warm in the traditional show business way. And please don't write in either, because the BBC is going through an unhappy phase at the moment, what with its father dying and the mortgage and BBC Two going out with men.
The BBC would like to deny the last apology. It is very happy at home, and BBC Two is bound to go through this phase. So from all of us here, good night, sleep well, and have an absolutely super day tomorrow. Kiss, kiss.
We've just heard that an explosion in the kitchens of the House of Lords has resulted in the breakage of 17 storage jars. Police rule out foul play. Lemon curry?
There's not really a great unipoint. You're sort of hanging on at your end. I'm afraid there aren't any more jokes or anything.